for a water bottle, and they 6 water bottles. Praise God. All right, that means we've got a long time of preaching tonight. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Man, every time you go somewhere new, you don't really know what you're going to kind of get into. You hope you're getting in with a group of people that's like you are. But I believe I come to the right place tonight. Praise God. That's great choir, great special singing, great choir singing. All of it's just fantastic. We sing them same choir songs and them same Red Book songs back at the church where I pastor. So I feel real at home tonight. And I'm glad it don't matter whether you're in North Carolina or in Arkansas. I'm glad the same Holy Ghost that we felt all day yesterday over at the Bible Missionary Baptist Church where I pastor, it's the same exact Spirit, Brother Riley, I feel in here tonight. And that's a blessing because it is the same Spirit. The Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty tonight. I thank God for the liberty we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. You may not understand what all the shouting and the worshiping and all that's about, but you can tonight. And I'm glad I know what it's about. Well, I want you to take your Bibles tonight and go to the book of the Psalms with me in chapter number 73. The book of the Psalms in chapter number 73 tonight. I really appreciate the invitation to come be with y'all this week. Been looking forward to it. I've never preached in this part of the country. And I really just enjoyed riding up the road today with you, Pastor, and looking at all the sights of Arkansas on the way up the road. It's a real pretty country up this way. And I just admire the good handiwork of God. And really enjoyed just fellowshipping with Him and coming up this way. And I appreciate Him. Got to know each other a little bit more coming up the road. Never had met up till today when He picked me up at the airport. And I appreciate a kindred spirit in the Lord. And thank God for what He's doing here. It's a beautiful facility. And good to have you out tonight. And I hope you try and come back tomorrow night and Wednesday night if you can and not in your home church. Psalm chapter 73 tonight. I'd like to read one verse just to start the message off. This message will be our diving board, verse will be our diving board off into the text tonight. We're going to read the last verse of Psalm 73. But then, I wish you'd keep your Bibles open because we're going to preach down through this chapter tonight. So, we'll use the last verse to dive back off into the rest of the chapter. I realize that's a little bit backwards, but my wife would say that's normal for Cody Zorn. Amen. Psalm 73 in verse number 28, if you found your place with me, say amen. The psalmist said, but it is good for me. There's a whole lot of stuff that's not good for you tonight. But what He's fixing to give you is good for you this evening. Some real good advice that'll help all of us. I'll be honest with you. There's a whole lot of stuff you can watch on the TV and advice they'll give you on the news or sitcoms, what have you. It ain't good for you tonight. There's a lot of stuff you'll hear at school or you'll even hear out of pulpits across the country that just ain't good for you tonight. But when the Lord says something's good for you, I promise it's good for you this evening. And the psalmist, under inspiration of the Holy Ghost, said, it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. I like what Asaph said in the first clause of the verse. He said, it's good for me just to draw near to God tonight. And I'd like to preach this evening a title of an old hymn of the faith that we sang when I was a boy coming up. You may sing it around here. I'd like to preach on the thought, draw me nearer. Draw me nearer. I dare say there's not one of us in the building tonight. I don't care how spiritual you are. Or how unspiritual you are. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved or how short you might have been saved tonight. It doesn't matter whether you are a simple church member, Sunday school teacher, choir member, pastor, preacher, evangelist, whatever you may be tonight. The truth is, there's not one of us from the preacher that's preaching to you, to the people that's listening to me tonight, that couldn't stand to get a little bit nearer to the Lord.
I mean, surely nobody would be so prideful as to sit here tonight, and I confess that I'm in the same boat with you. There's not one of us that I believe can stand up and say, I walked in the doors and I'm just as close to God in every area of my life that I need to be tonight. If you're there tonight, please pray for the rest of us that are trying to get closer to Him. Honest to goodness, if you ain't got nothing else to pray for tonight and it's all together in your life, just come to the altar tonight after the service and say, Lord, would you help that poor old dumb preacher from Georgia, this pastor now in South Carolina, that he might get closer to you? Because I can use all the prayers that I can get tonight. I believe it should be a lifelong pursuit and passion in the life of every child of God once they get saved to stay as close and to get closer to the Lord every day of their life. There's a reason why I put it into practice as soon as I got saved, and it's been my pursuit now for years and years to read my Bible through at least once a year, many times more often than that. You say, why would you read that book through as many times as you have? You've read it a bunch of times. Why keep reading it? Because I keep needing to get closer to Him. I mean, you prayed prayers before. Why pray prayers every day? Because I need to get closer to Him. You say, preacher, we've sung them same songs and we've been to these same church services. Why do we keep coming back? Because we need to get closer to Him. Brother, I believe if the psalmist could say he needed to get closer to the Lord and it was good for him to get nearer and nearer, then I believe the same thought applies to you and I tonight. Draw me nearer. The man we're reading about here, I realize every time you turn to Psalms, the first character you think of is David. And rightfully so. He writes a good portion of the book of Psalms. But the man we're examining tonight in Psalm 73 is not David. It is the man Asaph. Asaph writes 12 different Psalms beginning with this one. He'll start here and he'll write 11 of them in a row. There'll be a short break and then he'll write one more. But starting here, this will be his first one that he writes 11 Psalms back to back to back to back on through, and he ends up writing 12 of them total. Now, Asaph may not be a real familiar character to some of you. To some of you, he may tonight. Let me clue you in on to who this man is, lest you think he is just some Johnny come lately tonight. Asaph is the man that the sweet psalmist of Israel, the king of Israel, David, looked at and said, I want you to be my song leader. It is Asaph that David contracts, conscripts, or however you want to call it. David calls him to sing and worship before the Ark of the Covenant. Wherever the Ark's at, it's Asaph's job, whether it's moving or staying still, to stand in front of the Ark and sing a good song to the Lord and worship God. Now, I don't know about you, but I would think to myself this. If a man like David, who was an accomplished musician, an accomplished singer, probably the greatest in Scripture, if a man like David looks at a man and says, I want you to be my song leader, I want you to be my worship leader, there's something good about that guy's life. I mean, if somebody as close to God as David is, and somebody as holy as David is, especially early in his life, looks at a man and says, you got God on you, boy. You can sing with the best of them and do it with a touch of the Holy Ghost. I want you to stand in front of that Ark of the Covenant, and I want you to lead God's people in worship. I'd say, this guy's got some merit to his life. And even though this guy has all of these attributes and all of this clout behind him, David handpicks him, he writes 12 chapters of Scripture, 12 Psalms of Scripture, that does not exempt even this man from saying, Lord, I need to get closer to you. God, it's good for me to draw nearer to you. Are you understanding what I'm saying tonight? That if Asaph, a man like this, needs to get closer to God, everybody in the building can find themselves in the same spot this evening. Here in our chapter, and there's 28 verses here, we find the first 16 verses of the text, Asaph shows us a drift in his life. The first 16 verses, Brother Riley, is going to show that Asaph drifts from the Lord tonight. But then we're going to find the last 12 verses, Asaph is going to draw back near to the Lord. Aren't you glad that when we drift, the Lord just don't kick us to the curb? and say, I'm done with you. I mean, if the Lord was like a lot of us tonight, we'd only have 16 verses in this chapter. We'd have never gave Him the last 12 verses to get right. He'd have had 16 verses of drifting and backsliding, and we'd have said, that's it, we're done with you. But I'm glad, hallelujah, I'm glad there's a God in heaven that'll give us a place of reinstatement, that'll give us a place of reviving, that'll give us a place of refreshment, and give us an opportunity to write the last 12 verses of our life where we can get right with God tonight. Here in the first 16 verses, I want to just highlight real quickly before we look at His drawing back to the Lord. Let me show you His drift. Because I believe we all can find ourselves here from time to time in this world we live in, this drift. You say, what is it in this drift? Well, the first thing we see is His steps were slipping. Just by way of introduction, we find that His steps were slipping in His drifting. Look at what He says in verses 1 and 2 with me. Verses 1 and 2, Asaph said, truly, God is good to Israel. And not just to Israel as a whole, it's even individual. Even to such as are of a clean heart. Then verse 2, watch the narrative, how it shifts, how it changes, how it starts taking a path of a downward spiral. He starts slipping here. His steps are slipping. Verse 2, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Isn't that something, Brother Andy? Even though Asaph understands the truth of verse 1, he understands the truth of verse 1. He wrote it down. He understands truly. He said this is the truth. God's good to Israel, and He's good to them that are of a clean heart. But he says this, but there came a time in my life where the truths of the Word of God slipped from me a little bit. Even though I know God's good to those that are of a clean heart, even though I know God's good to Israel, and you ought to stay close to Him, he said, as for me, man, I got to the place in my life, my steps were slipping. I was slipping out of church. I was slipping out of my Bible. I was slipping out of my prayer closet. I was slipping from my worship. I was slipping from my personal devotion to my God and Savior. I was slipping from my witness. I was slipping from my testimony. Can I say it's real easy to slip tonight? I'm talking about literally, not just figuratively or spiritually. I'm talking about literally in real life, it's real easy to slip. It's hard to slip. Y'all ever been walking, you know, on a concrete floor like this, or walking through Walmart, or man, y'all just had that ice storm and all that stuff come through Levi's everywhere. Y'all realize it ain't hard to slip. You know what really causes a lot of people to slip? What causes people to slip physically is the same thing that causes us to slip spiritually. You just ain't paying attention to what you're doing. You get a little bit careless. You get your nose a little too high this way instead of your head bowed this way. That's why Peter said to be sober and be vigilant. Watch what you're doing. Keep your eyes open. There's an enemy trying to throw something slippery out in front of you to get you to get messed up this evening. You realize when you slip, you lose all control. Y'all ever come out in the shower and slip? Y'all ever stepped out of the shower and you put your first foot on the floor, and when you went to slipping, you didn't care what it looked like. You didn't care what nobody thought or what nobody said. Now afterwards you hope, man, I hope my wife didn't see that or my kids didn't see me, because that would have been real embarrassing. Or you, man, when you start slipping, you don't care what it looks like. Your arms are going everywhere, legs are going. You're just trying to stay upright. You know what happens when you slip? You lose control. I've watched a lot of God's people start slipping in their life, and when they do, they start losing control. Let me say this to you. You let yourself slip for too long out of the things of God, and you'll start losing control of what you once had control of. Watched a lot of God's people get to that place. His steps were slipping in the text. It's easy to do. I ain't bashing you. I've been there myself. It's easy to slip. Not only do we see his steps were slipping, but his sight was sinful. Look at what he got to looking at. Not only was something wrong with his feet, but something was wrong with his eyes. His sight was sinful. Verse 3, watch what he said. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They're not in trouble as other men. neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly. Concerning oppression they speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens. Their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out of them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Do you see what else is happening? He's not only slipping, but then he's got his eyes on the wrong things. He starts looking at the world, and he starts looking at the people that live ungodly in the world, and he starts looking at the people that are living for the devil. And when he does, he starts saying, God, they ain't got trouble like I got. Lord, I'm saved and I'm living for you and I'm trying to do right and I'm singing in front of this Ark of the Covenant. And Lord, I'm looking out there at them people that hate God and cuss your name and they don't love you and they don't love your word. And God, they got more than heart could wish. Their eyes stand out with fatness and it doesn't seem like there's any bands in their death. God, this ain't right. This ain't fair. Hey, let me tell you something. You better be careful what you get your eyes on tonight, especially you young people. The truth is, your eyes will affect your heart this evening. That's why we used to sing that. We used to sing that little song in Sunday school. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see, for the Father up above it. Y'all remember that little song? Had a lot of truth in that right there. Your eyes will affect your heart. And he got to looking at the things out there, and this is what he saw. All he saw was the billboards and the commercials, and he saw the fun, and he saw the lights, and he thought, man, it doesn't seem as bad as what the preacher's always making it out to be. It doesn't seem all that bad. But what he wasn't seeing was the end. What he wasn't seeing was the flip side of what the devil doesn't show you. Y'all, the devil never does show you the backside of the billboard. When liquor's used to life, the devil never does show you the backside of the party when you're left with regrets and sorrow for what you've done and where you've been. The devil never does show you the toll it takes on you mentally and physically and how it ruins your family and leaves you with scars on your life. It never does show you that side tonight. His steps are slipping. His sight is sinful. His soul even got stiff. Look at what he says in verse 13. Look at this. Watch what this guy says in verse 13. His soul got stiff on the Lord. Verse 13. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. And you see what he just said here? He said, it is vain. It was pointless for me to get my heart right with God. Isn't that something? How in verse number 1, he said, God's good to them that have a clean heart. And 13 verses later, he said, there wasn't no point in me cleaning my heart up. He got to the place where his soul just got so stiff. He said, what good's praying? It ain't making no difference. What good's reading my Bible and getting nothing out of it? What good's going to church? It ain't changed nothing. What good is faith? Doesn't seem like it's making a difference. Oh, you can sit there tonight and put on a real pious face and act like you ain't never been there and you ain't never asked them questions. But brother, you live for God long enough and you're going to wind up in a place where you ain't going to necessarily feel anything. You're going to have to face something tonight. Hey, there's times you're going to hit some skids in your life to where it's not always going to be shouting on the mountain. It's not always going to be feeling something at church. You're going to come in, your soul's going to get cold and stiff. And you just got to live for God through it and in spite of it tonight. So what's the remedy for steps that are slipping? What is the remedy for sight that has gone simple? What is the remedy for a soul that has gotten stiff on God? Get close to Him. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to Thy precious bleeding side. You know the remedy for all of these things in the text? Just make your mind up. I'm going to get as close to God as I ever have. You say, say, will He listen? Yes. If you seek Him, He'll be found of you. If you draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. Just run to Him, not from Him tonight. Do y'all realize, I'm going to give you three little points. We're going to hurry and go home, but let me say this. Do y'all realize there is a constant push from our three enemies to keep you away from God tonight? Y'all understand this. There is a constant push from the world, the devil, and your own flesh pushing you from the Lord. My brother, would you stand up right here for just a minute if you don't mind? He's going to be the Lord tonight. You look sharp. Praise God. I'm going to use you as the Lord. I'm going to be our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. I'm my brother, big man. Would you stand up right here for just a minute? He's going to be our Christian tonight. He's our Christian. Now, I want y'all to understand something. If He doesn't move, I can't stop Him from getting to the Lord if He wants to. If He wants to get to the Lord, I can't stop Him. But if He just stands still, all I got to do is just give a constant push. Yeah, right. You know what's happening? He's getting farther and farther away. You realize, hold up, brother, there's a constant push from the world, the flesh, and the devil to keep you from getting close to the Lord tonight. I know He lives on the inside, but I'm talking about a close walk, a close fellowship, walking with the Lord. There's a constant push. But by that same token, I want you to really go after Him. I mean, don't hurt me. I want to go home to my wife, but I want you to really go. I mean, look, if He wants, but y'all listen, if He wants to get to Him, there ain't nothing I can do to stop it. You say, why? Because greater is He that is within me than He that's in the world tonight. If you want to get close to God, there ain't enough devils in the pit of hell to stop you this evening. If you want to get near God, you can tonight. Y'all sit down. There are enough devils in hell to stop you if you want to tonight. The problem is, not enough Christians want to this evening. You say, well, preacher, I just struggle with this and I struggle with that. Yeah, but I know who lives inside of you. And He has given you the power to be more than conquerors through Him, not through yourself, through Him that loved us. I can do all things, not through my own self, not through my own power, but through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You can get closer if you want to. The question is a matter of, do you want to? So draw me nearer. Well, the last 12 verses, He finally starts getting his bearings. He gets his direction pointed correctly tonight. Say, how in the world did this guy start drawing nearer to the Lord? Three little things real quick, and then we're going to be done. We eating after church, ain't we? Praise God. I'm going to hurry up and throw these out real fast. I'm getting hungry right while we're standing here. You want to keep a Baptist preacher short? Tell him there's food after church. Amen. Number one, the first step for him drawing nearer was he got to the right area. He got to the right area. Say, what do you mean he got to the right area? Look at verse 17. This is when the narrative changes. We'll start in verse 16. Verse 16, he said, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. So I was trying to figure out everything going on with the wicked and what's happening. And he said, it was just too much for me. Verse 17, this is when the narrative changes. This is when the story shifts. This is when he starts going the opposite direction from the first 16 verses. Watch what turns the dude around. Until. There's a definite pause now and a 180 the other direction. The steps have stopped slipping. The sight is getting clear. The soul is softening tonight. How'd that happen? Until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I therein. You know what stopped the slide and started the shift towards God, the draw towards God? He said, I got to the sanctuary. I got to where people were trying to get to God to. I got around some people that love God like me. I heard them songs like we heard tonight. I heard some preaching like we hear in this place. And it started wooing me and drawing me. It started pulling me. It got my bearings back straight. I got back to a place where I could get close to God again. You know what this place is? You know what this place is? You say, it's the house of God. It's where the church meets at. Yes, I understand that. But it's also a place where we stop slipping. We stop sliding. We get our focus back on the things that matter. Our soul starts getting softened because we're out in this world and we see these things and we hear these things and our soul can get so stiff and get so hard. So we come up in here and we're slipping and sliding and we slide into church and brother, everything's gone to hell in a handbasket at home. You've been fighting the devil all week. You've been trying to raise children. You've been trying to live for God and work a job and you've got to slip all over the place, but you slide in the church, and when you slide in, you start seeing something and hearing something that woos you and draws you back to the Savior that loves you this evening. I'll not speak for none of y'all, but I just want to throw out something here real fast. Let me ask you a question. What is the most important institution on the face of the planet? It's the Church of the Living God. I'll answer my own question. Amen. That's what He shed blood for. It's the Church of the Living God. It's the most important thing on the face of the planet. Yes, it is. The called out ecclesia. The assembly. Let me ask you this. If the devil, I'm just hypothetical. If the devil could release something into this world that can make people so scared to show up and meet together and keep them from the place that changes lives and helps their homes and their hearts, do you not think He would do it? Amen. I believe that with you, Brother Zorn. Y'all listen to me. I realize when all this stuff hit, back a year ago, it's hard to believe, man, that we've been dealing with this junk for a year. But a year ago, I'm not minimizing. I realize there's a real virus out there. I get all that. But there's been a lot of other real stuff out there too, Brent. And a year ago, hey, we didn't cancel services. We just didn't know what was going on. So we just had church outside. But brother, after a month of having church outside, I said, all right, that's enough of that, praise God. We ain't had enough of horn honking and all that kind of stuff. Everybody sitting out in the yard looked like they went to the state fair drinking Coca-Colas and M&M's and drinking their Coke and M&M's like they're watching a sideshow on a platform. That's enough of all that. It's time to get back to the house. Amen. Let me say this too, and I'm going to move on. I'm just bumping this. I hope I'm all right, Brother Andy, saying this. Look, we have live stream at our church. Brother Don, I thank God for Facebook, for shut-ins, and people that are legitimately sick. We got folks to watch our Facebook live stream, YouTube from all over the country. After they go to their church, they'll watch ours and get a blessing. I thank God for it. Y'all didn't have church Sunday night late, and you watched ours and got a blessing. I thank God for that. That's good. But y'all listen to me. Watching it sitting at the house in your fuzzy slippers, popping popcorn, and in your bathrobe, it ain't the same as being in the building where the power and the presence of God is felt. It's not the same. That ain't church. It never has been church. It never will be church. I'm going to tell you something. I have no idea if Facebook has ever made the lame to walk, or the deaf to hear, or the blind to see. But I promise you this, Facebook has sure enough made the dumb to speak. I promise you that. This philosophy really got big, Brother Stan, really got big during this COVID thing because it made people feel good when they said it. And they would say this, it got big. They said, I don't have to go to church to be the church. I am the church. Time out. There's just one problem with that. That ain't Bible. You know, that sounds good, but it ain't Bible. Do you realize there ain't no such thing as a church of one? People don't even know what church means. People ain't got no clue what church means. The word church means a called out assembly. Now, I'm no rocket scientist, brother, but I got this much figured out, Brother Sam. We are not an assembly. Listen, we assemble. We ain't a congregation. Listen, we congregate. We together on that? Y'all, ain't no such thing as I'm a church of one. You ain't no church of one. We're the church body together this evening. Amen. All this stuff about, well, I'm the church over there and you the church over there. No, we the church together, the called out assembly. And there is something supernatural that happens when a bunch of people that got God on the inside show up and lift up praise and meet in unity and one heart and one mind and one accord. There is something holy that takes place. You say, explain it. Explain the wind. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. You know what makes all of this go? I can't explain it. I can just tell you this. I know what makes church go. The Holy Ghost. So explain that. I no more than I could grab a handful of wind and harness it could I explain it. I just know this is different than the Moose Club. This is different than the Y. This is different than the ball field. This is different than a social club. When we meet together, there is something supernatural that happens among God's people when they show up and God shows up too. I say this. I got hung up there. Let me hurry up and move here. I say this to you. I believe, looking at this text, I'm not so sure, and y'all don't miss this, I'm not so sure Asaph ever got out of church while his steps were slipping, his sight was fitful, and his soul was still. He couldn't. You know why he couldn't? It was his job to be there. David, Brother Josiah, good to see you, my brother. I'm going to hug your neck after church, praise God. David was called, or Asaph was called by David to do the job. He can't just decide one Sabbath day, yo, King, I just don't feel like showing up today. Step slipping, sight sinful, soul stiff. Not going to be there today. Oh, no, that don't fly with the king. He's got to be there whether he's enjoying it or getting anything out of it or not. Y'all listen to me. I've been around church 9 months before I was born. I've been around this all my life. And I'm going to tell you something I know to be a truth and a fact. You can sit right there in them pews and put your Sunday go-to-meeting clothes on and sit right there and smile and nod your head and be just about that far from slipping right out the doors. Brother, I would have never dreamed in my life, preacher, especially in 2020, some things I saw here, there, and yonder. Would have never dreamed that there's people that sat on pews and had no idea what they was harboring in their heart until it finally all come out. Now, you ain't fooling nobody just because you're here. That don't mean you really here. That prodigal son was already in the far country before he ever left the father's house. And some people sit in pews, and your body's here, but your mind, soul, and spirit is somewhere else. While I'm preaching, you ain't with me. Your mind's already off somewhere else, wishing you was doing this with somebody else and doing whatever. You ain't really here. You're like my kids. Every Sunday at our church, every Sunday, I teach adult Sunday school class, my wife teaches 3, 4, and 5, and my kids go to their respective Sunday school classes, the teen class and the 6, 7, 8 year olds, 9, 10, 11 year olds, my kids go to them classes. And every Sunday we come home from church, we all sit around the table and eat family dinner on Sunday around the table together. That's what I like to do. We do it every Sunday, unless we have a guest in and we may take them out to eat something like that. But if ain't no special day, it's just me and my 4 children and my wife sitting around the table. And I always sit at the table and I look at all of them and I say, all right, tell me what you learned in Sunday school. I want to hear about Sunday school. They finally started listening more because they get put on the spot. Sometimes, especially my littlest ones, my little boy, my little girl, I'd say, "All right, Charity, what'd you learn in Sunday school?" She'd put her fork down, swallow real deep, and say, "About God." Yeah, I got that. What about God? Some of y'all like that. You know what the problem is? She's there, but she ain't really there. She's sitting there, but her little 10-year-old fidgety body is already somewhere else. "I'm going to go back home. I'm going to play with the dog. I'm going to play with this and do that." Her mind ain't there, but it ain't no different to some adults. Your body's here, but you ain't really here. Hey, for you to really get something out of this, for you really use this to draw nearer, you can't just be here physically. You got to be here body, soul, and spirit this evening. It ain't just going to be like something happens by osmosis. You know, you just plop yourself down the pew and then just it's going to be a transport of emotion just fly over you. No, sometimes you're only going to get out of it what you put into it. And if you ain't actively showing up to get something out of it, you probably won't this evening. Yeah. You know the reason why I used to come to the supper table back at my mama's house and I wasn't hungry? You know why I'd show up sometimes at the supper table when I was a kid and I wasn't hungry? Because I'd done eat too much junk. And so when I pulled up to the table and mama would say, "Son, why are you playing with your food? Why ain't you eating?" Well, I just ain't hungry. "What do you mean you ain't hungry? You've been in there eating cookies? You've been in there eating chips? I couldn't lie. Yes, ma'am." You know why I wasn't hungry when I got to mama's table? I'd filled up on junk that wouldn't help me. I didn't want meat and potatoes and corn and green beans and biscuits. You know why? I'd done been eating too much junk behind mama's back. You know why some of y'all show up to church and you ain't hungry for what we're giving up? You're already too full on the junk of this world. If you get some of the junk cleaned out, you might get hungry for God's groceries again. I got to hurry. I got to draw me nearer. How'd he get drawn nearer? He got to the right area. He didn't just get to the right area. He had guilt for his actions. He had guilt in his actions. Look what he says. Look what he says in verses 21 and 22. Verses 21 and 22. I love this. Watch what he says. When he got to the right area, watch what he found out. Verse 21, 22. "Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins, the seat of my emotions, down deep in my soul. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee." You see what he does? He doesn't just show up. No, he shows up and gets right. When he got to the right area, he got right at the right area. You see what he says? He shows up and he says, "I got pricked in my reins. I'm grieved. God, I was foolish. I'm a fool. And I was ignorant. I was just like a wild dog. I was just like a beast before thee." That's not very complimentary, is it? We got this idea today. "Preacher, we don't want to make nobody feel bad when they come to church. Don't make them feel bad. Don't make them feel bad." Y'all, I got a policy about Missionary Baptist Church. I tell our church all the time. I believe this all my heart. I want everybody that comes in the doors at BMBC, I want everybody to feel welcome. I don't care what color they are. I don't care where they come from. I don't care what they look like. I don't care how many tattoos they got, what they're wearing. I don't care what they look. I don't care. I want to shake their hand, tell them I'm glad to have you. Come sit down. I want God to do something in their life. I want everybody to feel welcome. But I don't want everybody to feel comfortable. If you can walk in lost without God going to hell, or you can walk in as a backslid Christian living like the devil, I hope you feel so uncomfortable sitting in your pew that either you get right or you get out tonight. The problem we got in our modern day churches is we got people coming in living like the devil and they feel good about it while they're sitting there. There ought to be something that makes you feel bad about it tonight. You see what he said? He said, "When I got to the right area, I was grieved and pricked in my reins." How'd you get pricked? I know exactly how he got pricked. You know how he got pricked? The preacher stood up and took the two-edged sword of the Word of God and said, "Ugh!" Stabbed him right in the heart. I like sharp, direct preaching. Not this preaching that just goes over everybody's head and under everybody's feet and doesn't really just get to the heart of the crux of the matter. No, no. That preaching that when you're done, people end up saying, "Who told the preacher?" That kind of preaching. The kind of preaching that while you're doing it, it makes you squirm in your pew and think, "How dare he? Who's he think he is?" That kind of preaching that stabs you in the heart and makes you feel guilty. I want to say this. Thank God for Bible preaching that stabs me in my heart and makes me feel guilty when I need it this evening. Guilt's not a bad thing. Guilt's not a bad thing when it makes you get right with God. Guilt's a bad thing when you get right with God and the devil keeps making you feel guilty over something you've already gotten right. But you mark this down. If you're living in sin right now, or you're not saved right now and you feel guilty about it, mark this down. That's not the devil. That's the Holy Ghost. The devil makes you feel guilty about things God's already forgiven you for. God makes you feel guilty about things you ain't been forgiven for. Guilt draws you to Him tonight. He got right. You sit here tonight and you say, "Preacher, I feel so guilty over my actions. Is there any hope for me?" Yes, 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 1,000 times yes. Here's a fellow that was guilty, but he found forgiveness and he got right with God over it tonight. He had guilt in his actions. I got hurt and quit. No, I had guilt in his actions. He got to the right area. This guilt thing. Do you realize every time somebody in the Scripture ever got close to God, they saw themselves as being guilty? Isaiah got in the presence of God in Isaiah chapter 6. And when he got in the presence of God and he saw Him high and lifted up and His train filled the temple and them seraphims flying around crying, "Holy, holy, holy," Isaiah said, "Oh Lord, woe is me. I'm an unclean man and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." Lord, he saw himself for being messed up when he saw God. And when Jesus got on Peter's boat, the Bible said Peter fell down in front of Jesus and he said, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, oh Lord." When you get around God, it'll make you start feeling bad about who you are. Yeah. Well, see, he not only had guilt in his actions, he got to the right area, but lastly, and I'm done, he was guided by the right aid. He was guided by the right aid. Look at what it said. I love this. Verse 23 and 24. Verse 23. "Nevertheless, in spite of his slipping, in spite of his sight, in spite of his stiff soul, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory." You know what this old boy ended up finding out? Even as bad as he had messed up, even as bad as he had failed the Lord, even as bad as he had gotten his soul, when he got right, he realized, "Lord, you hadn't left me. You hadn't forsaken me. You still had me. I thought I'd got out so far from you, you didn't even know where I was. But God, you had me by my right hand the whole time. You hadn't let go and just let me get out yonder. You knew where I was. I was on the GPS, the grace positioning system. You saw me and still loved me and drew me back to yourself tonight." Here, some years ago, we when my kids were smaller, we took our kids to Disney World and we went down there and it was busy. People was everywhere. We walked in there and I told my wife, I said, "You get two of them by the hand and I'm going to get two of them by the hand and we ain't going to let them go nowhere. We're going to hold it." I mean, there's people everywhere. You don't know what kind of pervert or weirdo's walking around in there. Want to make sure they didn't get off from me. We'd be walking around in there. And, you know, Disney World, they got all them shops and rides and things like that. And it's just all kind of stuff that grabs a child's attention. Just woos them to it, man. They just get starstruck and just want to walk over, you know, to the Magic Kingdom or over, you know, It's a Small World after all, to Peter Pan or whatever all they got down there. And while I'm holding them, I'm feeling tugs against me. They're walking this way and holding my hand. They're trying to go this way and I'm going that way. And I have to yank them back in line. They're trying to go off that way. But you know what the good thing about it is? It didn't matter how much they started trying to walk off that way or walk off the path that way. I still had them. Brother, they wasn't strong enough to get loose from me. I wasn't letting them go. They're my babies. And even though some might have caught their eye, they started trying to get off. I still had them by the hand. Aren't you glad we serve a merciful God tonight? That when we go to slipping and when we go to sliding, He said He still had me by my right hand. He hadn't let me go. I might have let go of His hand, but He hadn't let go of my hand. He still had a hold of me tonight. My little kids, when they were smaller and I'd walk with them and they'd be way down there, they'd trip. I wouldn't, but they would. And when they'd trip, they'd fall. But they'd never hit the ground. Because when they'd trip and fall, they'd get to the end of their arm and something would still happen. They'd say, ugh. It'd stop them from face to dirt contact. What stopped them? Daddy still had them by the hand. That's what the psalmist said. He said, thou hast upholden me by my right hand. I failed. I slipped. I messed up. But you didn't slip. And you didn't fail. And you didn't mess up. And you had me by my hand and drew me back to yourself this evening. I'll tell you this evening, I love what the Bible said here. It said, you're going to guide me with your counsel. And I'm going to tell you, there's going to be one last jerk. Afterward, you're going to jerk me out to glory. Still got my hand. He said, afterward, receive me into glory. This old boy got to the place he found out, Lord, I'm prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love, but God, thank you that you still got me by my hand. Lord, let me say this to you tonight. If you've been a little bit stiff, or your sight's been a little sinful, or your steps have been slipping a little bit in areas of your life, isn't it good to still feel the tug of God? Y'all, don't think that's a bad thing. That drawing, that pulling, that guilt, that's the greatest feeling in the world. You know what that is? That lets you know you're His and He's yours. Y'all, I didn't run around Disney World trying to hold the hands of everybody else's youngins. I seen youngins, look, down yonder, I seen such derelict parents. They just let their kids run all over the place down there. I'd see them running in out the crowd and their mom and daddy's trying to catch them and they're running way out there and I think, y'all crazy. But I didn't run and grab them youngins. You know why? They wasn't mine. Oh, but brother, mine constantly felt that. You know what that was? It's because they're mine. They constantly feel daddy tugging on them. Y'all tonight, if you feel a little tug because you're slipping, that's wonderful. That means you're His youngin. And He wants you to come back where you should be this evening. Once from my poor sin, sick soul, Christ did every burden roll. And now I walk redeemed and whole, hand in hand with Jesus. Hand in hand, we walk each day. Hand in hand, along the way. And walk in this, I cannot stray. Hand in hand, with Jesus. Hey, he said there, he said, afterwards you're going to receive me into glory. You know that last verse? You know that last verse of that song? I like that last verse. Sing it with me. When the stars are backward rolled, and His home I shall behold, then I will walk the streets of gold, hand in hand with Jesus. Brother Sam, would you help me over here on the piano? I wonder tonight, this first night of revival, I wonder tonight, do you just need to draw a little bit nearer? Maybe tonight you're an Asaph. Maybe tonight you sit there and man, you're living for God. You're Asaph. You're God's person. But that don't mean you can't get a little slip in your step. Don't mean you can't get a little sin caught in your eye. It doesn't mean your soul can't get a little bit stiff. Tonight, won't you get to the right area and say, Lord, help me. Help me tonight. Let's all stand across the building. Brother Sam's going to sing something for us. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for how it reproves.